Let's be honest. Did the title of the episode trigger you? Come on, you can tell me. Are you listening right now in a Hulk-like rage? Well, you can relax, Bruce Banner, because I have something to tell you. I loved Dune. Now let's get to the episode. Fun fact, a Dune is, back in ancient times, what they would call a man with very large breasts dressed in bondage who would present weapons to the clown from It. Before we kick off this venture into a ruckus with yours truly, Savvy Geeks, I want to paint a picture for all our listeners. Now, I'm not as good as Denis Villeneuve in painting a picture, but I just want to let you all know I'm wearing a Pikachu t-shirt with yellow sweatpants holding a Dune graphic novel, which was done by Brian Herbert, who I believe is the son of the creator of Dune, Frank Herbert. Now, when I was in Vegas, my friend Andrew told me that there were several books done by the son of the creator of Dune, and apparently each book he did was ass. I can't vouch for that. If you've read those books, please let us know in the comments of our post what you think, and if that's true. Now I think it's time to let you know what I think of Dune. I have probably way more positive things to say than negatives. Let me get that out of the way first. However, this movie was not infallible. People were talking like it was the greatest cinematic achievement of all time. It wasn't. People were talking like it was like the villain portrayed by the guy I mentioned in the intro. His name is Bill Skarsgård. He is the guy who played the It clown. They were saying like his villain is on the same level as Heath Ledger. And that's just doing a disservice to Heath. Like, you people are out to lunch if you think that his villain in this film was even close to the level of the all-time great villains. It wasn't even close. It's not even a contest. You're just getting, this is what always happens. He didn't get enough screen time to be on the level of the all-time great villains. Who, by the way, the other character in this film, Javier Bardem, his character in No Country for Old Men's up there too. He was the lead of the movie, basically. Like, this guy had no screen time. If you gave him the same screen time as all these other villains that we're talking about, I'm sure he would be up there. I'm not even like questioning it, but you can't give it to him based on what he got. It's just not, it's like in sports. If you get, let's say a goalie has a high save percentage, but he's played 5 games, or a player has a hat trick in his debut and you say he's the next greatest goal scorer. He played 1 game. You can't compare him to players that have played 30 games. It's just not the same thing. Now, criticism number 2 is the soundscapes and the slow motion and all that stuff. It was a little overdone. I felt like it's like Zendaya looks one way and all of a sudden felt like an hour of just like slow motion soundscaping. And I don't think soundscaping is the right word, but I don't know how to present what I'm thinking in my head. It was that weird sound that he had, and it was just slow-mo in the desert, or Anya Taylor-Joy as a fetus, which is so weird. I know that's a important thing in the book. She took the poison, and as a result, her baby was able to speak because it was an abomination, as the lady said. It's just so weird that Anya Taylor-Joy was brought on this film, and she literally just played a fetus the whole time. And do we really need to see the fetus? Are you kidding me? That was so weird. Ugh, it's fine, though, because truly, this was one of my favorite films I've seen in years. It was unreal. I had to get the negatives out of the way, and the rest is just going to be positive. And that's something else I remember that's negative comes up. But holy shit, this film was so good. The first one was slow. I guess it was a lot of world building. They had to get to this point, but it was lit. When the Freeman would like pop out of the sand and just like kill everybody, it was so badass and stealthy. I felt like I was watching Assassin's Creed. They should do that in Assassin's Creed. Oh man, that was so cool. Then you have, and listen, I know it's criticizing what I call the soundscapes, But it was unreal. Like, it was very cool visually, and the music fit perfectly. I just felt like it was, he didn't have to do it every chance he got. The way they ride the sandworms, so sick. I don't know how they got up. They rode the sandworms to the south, and then all of a sudden, they're there. That's another part. They kind of like rushed that part of the film. Like, it didn't feel cohesive. I've been speaking very highly about Black Widow the last few episodes, how lit that character's been in the MCU. Well, her replacement, who is Yelena Belova, is in this film. I'm talking about Florence Pugh. Is it Pugh or Pooh? I don't know. My friends are laughing at me for calling her Florence Pugh. I apologize, Florence, if I pronounced your name wrong. You are a talent, a force of nature. Everything you're in is just unreal. And if the movie itself isn't good, you're a bright spot. I can't think of a bad performance I've ever seen her in. She's so good in this film, and she had no screen time either. Same with Bill Skarsgård, right? But she definitely had more of a presence in it than Bill, because she narrated a lot of it. She was a highlight. I thought it was a little bit weird seeing Christopher Walken. It's me, I'm the Emperor. You want to come in my walk-in closet? It's me, Christopher Walken. He's a cool guy. He's a good actor, but it's hard to move past this voice. I am the ruler of billions and billions of people, but how can you listen when I talk like this? If you don't think that's a good Christopher Walken, unsubscribe now. I hate you. Please don't unsubscribe. I love you. Please don't unsubscribe. He was okay, but it just, his voice came out in certain parts, and it kind of made me laugh. Zendaya was fine. Like, she was barely in the first film. She was more like a periphery character in the first film. She was in dreams, and she didn't come until the end. In this one, she was a hugely important character. I'm saving the best for last, so I'll get to Timothy. I really love Josh Brolin. He was so good. It was a little weird, all the poems he left for everybody, but if you want to know what that's all about, just Google it. I thought Dave Bautista's character was kind of a wuss. I don't know. It was embarrassing seeing some of the stuff he did. Made me a little uncomfortable. Bill Skarsgård is Stellan Skarsgård's son. They're both in this film. But Stellan Skarsgård, I gotta be honest, like, he made me so uncomfortable. But that's the whole point, right? He was a great villain. Rebecca Ferguson, who played the mom, the one with the pregnant fetus who talked to her, I don't know if I love her as a villain. I kind of wish she stayed like a hero, but maybe like, she's a hero, but maybe a little bit of an anti-hero, you know? She was good, though. Lady Jessica, that is your name. I also loved Javier Bardem, but as Stilgar, but he is so funny because there's this viral meme going around, and it's just hilarious. You gotta check it out. Look up Stilgar Dune memes. You're gonna laugh so hard. Last, but certainly not least, we have Paul Atreides, portrayed by Timothy Chalamet. Bro, I could see winning an Oscar for this role. Deadass. Unreal performance. That scene where you're addressing everybody as the Messiah, that was scary. You were badass. Then you have the fight at the end with Bill. One of the best fight scenes in a movie ever. Maybe a little bit below that tier, but it's definitely up there in terms of great fight scenes. I don't know. Okay. Before we end the episode, I want to give you all opportunity to turn it off now, because I'm going to talk about Dune Messiah, which is the next movie, and what happens in that one. Okay, cool. This is what I've read. I could be wrong. If you read the books, please correct me. So in Dune Messiah, Paul has been emperor for, let's say, 12 years. His jihad, as they refer to in the book, that's how they call it in the book, has killed 61 billion people across the universe. This guy is a crazy mass murderer. Unprecedented level of death has followed his rule or reign, however you want to call it. He's emperor, and he has prescient vision, which means he can see the future and see all possible realities. So he thinks that this is the right path. That's a main theme of Dune, is what is the right path? It's called the Golden Path, I believe. And from my understanding, he saw this vision, and his son, who gets the same power, also sees his vision. But The best way I can describe it is if you've seen Avengers Endgame, no, it's Avengers Infinity War, Doctor Strange is like meditating, trying to understand possible realities while he's on that other planet with Tony, and his face is all like twitching and stuff. And then he says to Tony that in all the realities, he's seen, like, I don't know, millions of different realities. There's only one where they win, and it needs to go a certain way. Same thing in Dune. Paul knows the only way humanity survives. There's one chance, and this is what has to happen. He needs to fuse with the sandworm and become the god emperor and basically shut down all spice, which is what they used to travel for like 3,500 years. That's how long it has to go for. Because then what happens is right now, apparently, like, humanity's too contained into the known universe, and they need to spread so far that it gets to a point where they can't be extinct because they're spread so far outside the universe. But he doesn't want to do it. He's like, nah, that's gross. His son, though, does do it. He fuses with the worm, becomes Emperor King, and basically all the sandworms are gone. It's just him, and he forces generations and we're talking about 3,500 years to not be able to travel. They're all confined to their planets. Then after 3,500 years, he's finally like, all right, this is long enough, peace out. He dies, and then humanity just like bursts. They just expand and expand and expand outside of all the universe, because now they can, right? They have all this spice now, so they just like travel, and humanity's saved. That's the golden path. That's how you have to get there. What did you think of Dune, though? Did you like it? Make sure to let me know. I'll always have time for Dune. Mark Savvy, signing off.